The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjo Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guest, and callers. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Good afternoon, and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is challenges and rewards of hosted supply chain. Our guests for today's show are Beth Enslow and Ron Riggin. Beth is the Senior Vice President, Enterprise Research for the Aberdeen Group, and Ron is the Senior Vice President of Technology with Red Prairie. Good afternoon, panel. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Sancho.
Hi, Sancho.
So are you guys ready for Christmas? Everything taken care of? All gifts?
Absolutely. I'll start shopping in a week or two.
Great. So let's talk about this topic here. I mean, we had always been having like some of the other type of challenges in supply chain, and now we are trying to get rid of those or maybe get some solutions, and here comes hosted supply chain. In the age of, you know, software as a service that is current, we have been dealing with hosted models quite a bit. However, if you look at CRM, it is more like a peripheral business function, whereas if you were to pick up supply chain management, it is somewhat a core business function and it's kind of mission critical. Given the fact, can we actually risk hosting it with a third party or even internally and changing the way we had been working, given that, you know, every minute counts and every package counts? So if there's a risk already there, what prevented us from joining the bandwagon before? Because I think the risks would be the same even now. Beth?
What we've seen at Aberdeen, we've benchmarked actually 631 companies this year on their on-demand usage usage intentions, including 180 companies specifically on supply chain applications. And I think what surprised us most was the commonality of value that companies were achieving from hosted or software as a service applications, and that most of these applications users reported that they were able to get up and running in less than 3 months and achieve an ROI in 3 to 12 months, much faster than with typical on-premise packaged applications. So I think that as we looked across CRM, supply chain, procurement, finance, and product lifecycle management, we saw similar value trends. And I think what we're seeing is that not only in areas like CRM, but also many financial-related applications and financial transaction processing is now done in a hosted or software-as-a-service model, and those certainly are, you know, very core security-intensive transactions, and they're successfully being done. And I think that, in turn, has made more recently supply chain organizations feel comfortable that if finance can use a software as a service application, it's probably okay for us in supply chain too as well. And I think we're seeing companies like P&G, Unilever, Nike, Hitachi, Home Depot, Weyerhaeuser, etc., start to use these supply chain on demand or hosted applications.
Great points, Beth. I also like to add that in many ways, most major corporations are evolving towards a hosted model, or what I call a self-hosted model, where applications that 5 or 10 years ago were being distributed out in the field are coming back into the central office, being managed under an IT governance and infrastructure appropriately. And I think the technologies have enabled us to now allow those internally hosted applications to be fielded out to third parties when it makes economic sense, mm-hmm. and when that third party may have unique expertise that can be applied to the particular applications being hosted to provide yet added value. If it boils down to simply a hardware economics lesson, then simply hosting may not provide the value you're looking for, but there are many other attributes that companies are looking for from hosting that's more than just having a third party running your hardware, that also involves unique expertise, scalability, accessibility, maybe there's only a short-term need. Maybe there's back-end brokers, carriers, EDI linkages or exchange that are already integrated that could save that company money. So So there are, I think, many compelling reasons why a company would move to hosting. I think the market has and technologies have enabled us to move in that direction, and I think it's certainly going to expand dramatically in the years to come.
Now, would you say, Beth, especially when you mentioned that initially they were not feeling that comfortable, and as the financial industry tried to get in there, maybe they were looking at that as at the epitome of mission critical, of being mission critical, and if they could do it, supply chain could do it too. But when we look at a financial industry or financial application, it's much more regulated, much more controlled environment. Whereas whenever you look at supply chain, you look at a person's, you know, standing on a shop floor or like a warehouse and shipping packages, and they may not be the most educated people around there. And there would not be, you know, there would be actually many instances where the process could be broken as well. So the assurance based on another industry dealing with it, would that be actually a safer way to go about doing a due diligence and coming to a decision like that?
Well, let me clarify, too. Certainly the financial institutions and financial services industry has moved that way, but I was also referring to the finance organizations within an enterprise, so the finance organization within a manufacturer, for instance, using a third-party hosted system to do procure AP processing, accounts payable processing, or electronic invoicing, for instance. So they're moving kind of this mission-critical data to these third-party hosted environments, and you know the supply chain people are oftentimes saying, you know, if that data is already it goes to the data security issue that used to be just 3 or 4 years ago the number one question that I would get when companies were considering hosted solutions would be, is it secure? Is my data going to be secure? And I think that in many cases now the technology has matured and people have become more comfortable with the fact that I can run a secure environment, but the physical hardware doesn't necessarily have to be at that specific location, or to Ron's point, doesn't even necessarily have to be at my company.
So essentially you would say that the adoption or lack of adoption, you could say, was basically what we had in our mind in terms of how secure do we feel in a given environment. And when the outside environment started showing us proof that, yes, this could work out well, and that's where people are, looking towards adopting the supply chain hosted solution.
Well, I also believe that there are opportunities. If you ask, would you outsource your entire supply chain, lock, stock, and barrel, people may feel a little bit risk adverse to that. But I think there are services or components that even today are being regularly outsourced. And I think as that success builds, people will feel more and more comfortable with bringing in more and more services and integrating those services into a workflow that is, in effect, ultimately outsourced.
Now, talking about customization, given the fact that every application ideally would be customized, or you could say business would love to customize to their own needs so that they are not going to be using this hosted application as a stencil and bend their own rules that they have built over the years. While it would be helpful to follow a benchmark, but they cannot 100% rely on those benchmarks provided by an outside party. So there comes the need of customization. And as soon as you start talking about customization, the time to market, if you will, for any new tweak that you wanted to get from a hosted service provider is a nightmare, as we all know. And that is not only true for, you can pick up any business function which has been hosted. It could be cost prohibitive as well as it could be time consuming, and you don't know what you're going to get. So given the fact that you would have this and the fact that supply chain itself as a business function is very near and dear to our hearts as we talk about individual organizations, and that means you need more customization, how is this catch-22 being dealt with? And we're still moving ahead, putting blinders on in a way.
Well, I think, Sanjo, it's a good point, and one I highlight frequently, that first off, the hosted technology itself isn't the solution. It's an enabling technology. It allows you, it facilitates the business processes that are relevant to your organization. And what an organization needs to look for are applications, hosted applications that enable them to compose their own workflow. and build their own unique competency and expertise, and not just have best practices, but next practices, the practices that really produce value in the enterprise. I sometimes very simplistically equate it to just an Excel spreadsheet, that it is an enabling tool that allows you to create a financial spreadsheet or any number of applications, but simply knowing how to use that tool doesn't allow you to understand how somebody else is using it in their unique manner. So companies should seek hosted applications that permit them to compose their own workflows and create and maintain their unique identity with those applications.
And I'll just add to that, Ron, that we're seeing a huge shift away, specifically in supply chain, from homegrown or in-house developed systems, because companies are finding that they become outdated too fast, and that companies now need their systems that can really flex to the more dynamically changing business conditions, and that's driving things like service-oriented architecture, commercial-based solutions, whether those are, you know, on-demand or on-premise solutions. And to your point, Ryan, it's all about, you know, how you apply and configure your solutions now, not necessarily about, you know, do I have a customized application that I've, you know, invented the next best thing since, you know, sliced white bread. I'd just like to share one quote from an automotive CIO that I talked to recently, and he said, you know, we chose to go to on-demand or hosted supply chain application because custom building takes too long, and that they found that on-demand was by far the quickest, cheapest, and less painful way to get the functionality that their business needed to be competitive. And I think they were surprised at the fact that it also enabled them to get much quicker enhancements than they were able to get either from their own IT department or through a more traditional packaged application implementation.
Now, let's look at from a business standpoint. Do you think that if a supply chain management personnel who is non-IT, he or she would see any difference in the way things would be run if you were to move from a traditional enterprise solution kind of environment to a hosted environment? Because essentially those are the folks who are going to either say that, yes, I'm willing to invest as a stakeholder, or will be ready to adopt a new application, unless otherwise they see a significant value or at least an incremental value in the whole thing. The adoption challenge would still remain.
I think, we both didn't want to talk over each other. I think the key on the actually, Beth, why don't you go ahead?
To your point, Sanjog, I don't think the supply chain operational people care. They just need the functionality that will make them more productive, let them collaborate better with their customers and suppliers, and you know, get their job done more effectively. And their biggest challenge is, frankly, that they typically can't get either IT budget or they can't get IT resources to implement applications to help make them effective. And when either IT organizations are consumed with doing an ERP implementation or upgrade project that's not supply chain related, and they simply don't have the bandwidth internally to get the functionality they need. They just, you know, I'm on operations, I just want to get the job done. And a lot of them are seeing the on-demand option as a faster, less IT intensive and less risky way to get that functionality.
And in many respects, because it is hosted, because it is on demand, because it's readily available and I can deploy it rapidly, there is not as great of concern of, well, do you really have it or not? If you can say I have, you know, 500,000 users on my hosted application, then the 500,000th and first user will understand the functionality quite quickly that's available and apply to their organization. And I think Beth mentioned the term software service-oriented architecture earlier. And I think the ultimate objective of a hosted application is not just to host a single supply chain application in your enterprise, but to use the best solutions that fit your enterprise needs. And the enabling technologies of SOA will allow a workflow of different technologies to that end user that provide that user the best value. And so from an end user perspective, I believe that hosting will be delivering more value, more innovative solutions, more rapidly to the workforce than they do today.
And I think that's a great point, Ron, because what we've seen is it's not been very effective for companies to take a traditionally built, you know, this full-scale, very complex, training-intensive of a traditional application and just host it and say, you know, now this is going to solve all your problems. Yes, it was, you know, maybe it solves some of your IT maintenance problems, but doesn't help the end user. We're really seeing the innovation in hosted applications, in software as a service applications, from having, you know, more flexible, more role-based functionality, thus delivering the functionality to that specific person that they need, and hiding away the rest using some of the service-oriented approaches that Ron was talking about.
So can you think, or you can, if this initiative were to be spoken about among stakeholders and or other folks within the company, would you say this is more like an IT optimization exercise versus a business process optimization exercise?
I think there's two aspects to that. I think that what we haven't talked about yet in this session is specifically around supply chain applications, are that you can have applications that come with additional value, come with a community of pre-connected suppliers or carriers for a company to leverage, or ways to interact and create lower risk or better, less inventory requirements across multiple partners. So that whole, it's not just delivering the functionality I need, but it's, am I delivering in a way that's going to let me really manage my extended supply chain more effectively?
And there may be content-related services as well. So in international trade logistics, there may be vast repositories of content that the service provider can make available through this hosted service that you wouldn't necessarily want to own yourself or maintain in your own enterprise. So using that service in combination with that externally managed, robust content can add value as a hosted application as well.
Now, talking about the fact that as soon as you talk about hosted application, you are essentially sharing your the way you do business, or you can say you are going to be on a level playing field against your competitors or whosoever wants to join the bandwagon of the same vendor, at least to say the least, and they will all be following the same exact set of procedures and processes, given that minimal customization is done. So with that being said, and we know you pick up Walmart, for example, their supply chain is their bread and butter. That's how they keep their costs low, and it's very near and dear to their heart. And there are other companies who are trying to follow suit. So do you think the fact that hosted supply chain does take away that competitive advantage just because you're working on the same platform, would there be a natural reluctance from such companies to go ahead and adopt it?
So that's a great question, and that's actually a question we had going into our research this year. And what we found out was that, especially in the supply chain space, it was the companies who were above average supply chain performers, so they were the ones who were the innovators, who were most likely to be using on-demand supply chain applications today. In fact, 46% of above average supply chain performers said they had adopted in part of their supply chain and on-demand or hosted application for supply chain versus only 12% of those companies who are below average performers. So in supply chain, unlike in some of the other areas like CRM, we actually saw the innovators being the early adopters because they did think that it could provide them a competitive advantage for some of the reasons that, you know, that Ron just mentioned. And I think what we're seeing now is that the companies who are most likely to be looking to adopt on-demand over the next year are actually the below-average companies who recognize that the innovators are already doing this. And, you know, 20% of the below-average companies said they're now looking to adopt some type of on-demand for supply chain in the next year. So we found that to be a really interesting dynamic and not necessarily what we had expected.
And I think to take another angle on it as well, that one of the reasons someone may come to that conclusion is because they're still thinking too monolithic with the application. I think In addition to the comments I made earlier with regard to being able to configure your own workflow, I think hosted software or software as a service needs to become more componentized so that I can take and pick and choose those best practices that, that meet my needs very uniquely. And that particular service, indeed, if I need to manifest an international parcel container, I may be using the same service as 100,000 other companies, but then I'm using it in the context and the workflow that's very unique to my business that provides value to my customers. And I think if we start thinking about software as a service componentized and service-oriented, then it's up to the enterprises to figure out which components and services are most applicable to my needs and not think I have to get everything from one monolithic vendor that's going to be the same as every other vendor.
So would you think intuitively it would be essentially a supply chain intelligence, what we can get out of hosted service provider versus a transaction tracking and or optimization?
Well, let me tell you where we're finding the most adoption today in on-demand applications for supply chain. The number one area is in the area of transportation management and supply chain visibility. And the number two area is in collaboration, so supplier collaboration, and increasingly we're seeing more in customer collaboration. So it's those externally facing processes where you need to interact and manage at both a optimization and especially at an execution level with external parties, whether that's transportation carriers, suppliers, customers, 3PLs, logistics service providers, etc. That's where we're seeing today the most adoption of these applications.
And Beth, to add to that, I would agree with that, but we are also seeing a tremendous influx of interest in workforce management with the dynamics of workforce and people coming in and recruits coming on at peak seasons and scheduling and optimization and human capital management. We're seeing a tremendous amount of interest in workforce management hosting applications.
And I would imagine, Ron, that might be for not just for major locations, but maybe for satellite facilities or store locations or when you have a more distributed workforce?
And when you have a growing and proliferation network of sites and stores and employees, it makes it that much easier to bring them on board and up to speed and productive and trained more quickly and allows even greater facilitation of a rollout schedule over traditional, install and test and deploy applications of the five-year-ago ilk.
So now let's talk about the supply chain management systems that we see are today in the form of ERP, which is tightly integrated. And now when we bring in the hosted model, as Ronnie mentioned, that it's not necessary that we may take all or nothing kind of approach with the hosted model, so we may get, a few components of that hosted model or the way it is being sliced and diced and made available by the vendors. Then even within the company, let alone across the value chain, in upstream and downstream value chain and the whole supply chain, even within the company, we are going to see a hybrid model where we might be ripping apart a piece of that ERP-based supply chain and plug this new thing in. How much of an incremental value are we seeing in that?
Well, I think there's tremendous opportunity and tremendous value in taking that strategy. I think as you pointed out, the major ERP vendors have created a foothold and are providing core services to the enterprise. But I think there's great opportunity and innovation out in the marketplace that is available. And in effect, we're seeing the ERPs evolve ecosystems and strategies for embracing those innovations and driving value out of them. And we wholeheartedly support that and believe that's the right strategy and the right direction for the business.
It's interesting. I had a long discussion with the CIO of Hitachi, and his strategy is a portfolio strategy, which is to say there's core differentiating applications that are mainly customer-facing sales enablement that I want my IT department to build. There's other applications that are more economical and that I want to own in-house, and that might be core ERP functions. And then there's areas that I'm going to be going out to my business units and my business leaders and encouraging them to use hosted and on-demand applications because that's the best value for our company and the best way that I can support them to ensure that you know, they can stay at that leading edge of business process. And so I thought it was an interesting, you know, approach of a, you know, very large company taking a hybrid portfolio approach. And I think we're all, you know, fooling ourselves if we think that, you know, we're going to wake up tomorrow and, you know, we're, you know, the world's just going to be, you know, on demand or the software as a service. You know, we're going to, I think what it's going to evolve toward is this more hybrid model where you are using this combination of services that are, some are hosted internally, some you may build internally, some you may be accessing externally.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and talk a little bit about the very reason. I mean, while there are a couple of things which definitely would have triggered this adoption or direct towards that, you can say, an adoption of the supply chain management. So what are those typical issues and challenges that people are facing? And if you were to really measure or do the due diligence on the supply chain or hosted supply chain solutions that are being made available, how can we essentially measure from a qualitative and quantitative fashion that yes, there is some value being delivered and yes, that's why we should move ahead? So basically talk about more the due diligence process, which would lead us to decide whether we should go this route or not. So let's talk more about it. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages.
Business information you need, from the stock market to starting and managing your business. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.evol.com today. Evol is a professional services firm with a mission to help companies align information technology with their business objectives through its full line of staffing and outsourcing services. Whether it's hiring top technology talent or developing mission-critical business solutions, we back it up with an unconditional, positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Evol can help your company, visit www.evol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Evol, making IT better. www.evol.com. Visit today. More and more business people recognize the importance of spirituality in their work. How do busy professionals discover what rings true for them? Embracing the Journey with Karen Humphrey Salad explores what it means to be spiritually fulfilled in business and how to integrate spiritual direction into a career. Expert guests, authors, and inspiring speakers join Karen every week to discuss such issues as honesty, compassion, generosity, ethics, and integrity in the workplace. Take a positive step forward to greater life balance. Tune into Embracing the Journey with Karen Humphrey Salad, broadcasting every Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel, the bottom line in business talk.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business, this is Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gal.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who've just tuned in, today's topic is challenges and rewards of hosted supply chain. And our guests for today's show are Beth Enslow and Ron Reagan. Beth is the Senior Vice President, Enterprise Research for the Aberdeen Group, and Ron is the Senior Vice President of Technology with Red Prairie. Before the break, we were going to discuss about the actual due diligence process, and even before that, we had to kind of inventory the issues and challenges, specific ones, which would have triggered most of these organizations to go in the direction of choosing a supply chain. And then as they are trying to do that due diligence on the hosted supply chain in the first place, whether they should choose one or not, and then one against the other, what are those figures, et cetera, and what are those questions they're asking? What are the measures that they're putting in place from a qualitative and quantitative angle? Beth?
What we're seeing is that companies are looking at it at two aspects. One is that some companies, and these are typically smaller organizations that have not had the IT staffing or the IT budget to adopt better supply chain automation. They're still operating a lot of off of manual or spreadsheet or Access databases. They're looking at this as a lower total cost of ownership opportunity to finally gain access to better supply chain functionality. But we're seeing kind of another class of companies, and these typically are larger companies or maybe looking for that innovation edge, who are looking at these technologies to say, going back to my example around the portfolio management approach, to say if I can find software and implementation of that software that already exists, why do I need my internal IT organization to recreate it? That's kind of a direct quote from Lois Davis, who's VP of Global Logistics at Liz Claiborne. In their company, it's all about speed to value, time to value, and they're seeing on demand as being a faster time to value. And there's obviously other benefits, especially if you're IT constrained, that go along with it. I think one misnomer, and Ron, you can chime in here as well, is to equate hosted with payment method, because you can always rent or lease an on-premise traditional application, just like you can pay subscription for a hosted application. But I think it's really the delivery mechanism that's different, and what your IT resources require, and also how you're going to be able to flexibly access that functionality over time, that's different.
Yeah, I also, I think to Beth's point, there are different measures and metrics for large companies, mid-size, and small-tier companies, because each of them has different needs. In many cases, better IT economics, that having fault tolerance and redundancy and backup strategies and controls that a small company may not be able to provide at a fair and economical rate may be very appealing. But a large company likely has that expertise and isn't outsourcing or hosting for those reasons. Demand scalability of being able to reach out and deal with direct-to-consumer companies that have monstrous peaks of transactional processing during very short periods of time. The need to roll out very quickly is roll out new sites, new stores, new employees are tenets that someone may use to use a hosted model. And then, as we talked earlier, just the existing integration to backends and content management, so that if I am doing tendering to a carrier community, that the necessary links to all the major carriers already exist, and I can take advantage of that and derive value from that overnight without a large IT effort. And I think lastly, it is a question of whether I am buying capacity or a service level. Am I buying the capacity of a 4-CPU system, or am I buying a service level that someone else will maintain for me and provide the horsepower to deliver it? So all of these are questions that would measure the value of hosting an application for an enterprise versus hosting it internal for the enterprise versus just the traditional deployment.
Yes, and Doug, I can also give you two examples of how companies that we've benchmarked justify these projects that might be interesting. One company was able to cut its total cost of ownership, and this is a very, very large company, global company. They were able to cut their total cost of ownership on their supply chain application by 35% because it enabled them to retire a mainframe and the legacy application that it was running on. In another case, a company was able to move from its the amount it was paying in annual maintenance costs for its existing package supply chain application. They were able to move and have a monthly subscription cost for an on-demand application that was less than what they had been paying for annual maintenance costs, and they got more robust functionality. So there's different ways that we're seeing people justify it internally based on, again, kind of what their existing internal legacy environment might look like.
We also see a lot of our customers warming up to cost predictability. So it's not just cost savings, but it's predictability over a 5-year horizon. As Beth said, I could take a mainframe out and I could predictably know if I move to this hosted application, here's what my costs will be moving forward. So that's another element that we've seen a lot of lately.
See, not that if you notice, in supply chain, you'll have multiple data warehouses and multiple distribution centers and the like. And if the company is global or if nothing else within the United States, for example, it's got multiple centers like those, with ERP or whatever, you'll have one-time cost and you're done. But now in hosting, would there be any complexity pertaining to chargebacks and or, cost-related calculation, amortization, this, that, and the other, which could unnecessarily create more complexity and, more headache for us as if we didn't have enough? Ron?
Well, I think, I'm not going to claim to be an expert on the costing models of hosting applications and the chargebacks, but certainly I am quite familiar with third-party logistics operations with which both host your supply chain as well as physically execute it. And I think as long as you've created a mutual understanding of what service levels will be provided based on what capacity demands are imposed, if there's a clear definition of, well, I'm using more than I expected to use, thus I'll provide, added service at an added cost, then the relationship is a very strong relationship. I think if there are challenges, when you use the word chargeback, can be used in many different contexts, where the hosted service may be doing something wrong, forcing and creating chargebacks from your customers, I think that's something that has to be dealt with on a case-by-case basis.
Would you have any thoughts on that?
We do see companies struggle more to compare, say, the net present value on subscription or transaction payments that they might get in a on-demand area, which is relatively straightforward to calculate, versus what their true total kind of fully loaded cost is internally for what they do it now, and being able to look at everything from, what does it cost to maintain EDI connections internally with my supplier, or run an IT help desk, including turnover costs, et cetera. It's really that we find more of the challenge being figuring out what is this really costing me if I was to do it internally, and I think what companies are also starting to look at now is also what is the risk factor. So what's the exit cost if users don't use it, or if the application doesn't work as I need, or if my business changes dramatically tomorrow, if I'm doing it internally or if I'm buying it in a traditional license and install way, I have a huge exit cost, where with a hosted model, I minimize that risk tremendously, and I'm simply just, stopping paying that subscription, and we're seeing that being factored more into these equations as well.
Yeah, the other element that we see a lot from a cost standpoint is the sort of the center of excellence and the domain expertise that comes along with hosting, where if a company were to own the application, operate it themselves, and run into an issue, that may be an issue that a hosted environment that has many, many companies supported is running into on a frequent basis, can deal with it on a frequent basis. And so the ability for problem resolution, the ability to understand how to work around or deal with exceptions much more rapidly, much more efficiently in a hosted model is very much a real value proposition. And in fact, sometimes we see customers choose to physically host the systems in their own enterprise, but then simply contract out that hosted service of domain expertise because they realize that first level of support is critical to the operation.
Let's talk about the weakest link issue. This is true with many different business functions there, where you're trying to have your partners and external entities to work with you hand in hand and kind of collaborate and contribute towards its overall success. Supply chain is not any different, and in fact, it is much more involved because you are nothing as an individual entity if you do not have your value chain players not playing well with you. And given that hosted model is something new, already we have this third-party and fourth-party logistics-related issues which make things complicated, and now we are going to go on this hosted model, and we definitely cannot expect and mandate our value chain players to do, or you can say follow suit right away. So that transition from non-hosted to a hosted within the enterprise and then dealing with a third-party who may or may not be as amenable to accepting this new paradigm, what could be the potential challenges that we may have, and what are the strategies that could be adopted? What sell job can be done to these people so that eventually everybody turns out to be a winner? Let's talk more about it when we come back from the break, so please stay tuned.
More and more people are starting their day with informative, focused business talk. Top experts. Today's business issues. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval is a professional services firm with the mission to help companies align information technology with their business objectives through its full line of staffing and outsourcing services. Whether it's hiring top technology talent or developing mission-critical business solutions, we back it up with an unconditional, positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, making IT better. www.aval.com. Visit today.
Achieve total wealth management. Listen to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roy Diefendorf every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern on Business America Radio. Three-Dimensional Wealth is a show dedicated to teaching you a values-based approach to comprehensive total wealth management through practical strategies and expert advice. Take your first step down the road of financial independence. Listen to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roy Diefendorf Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gal.
Welcome back to the show. For listeners who just tuned in, today's topic is challenges and rewards of postal supply chain, and our guests for today's show are Beth Enslow and Ron Reagan. Beth is the Senior Vice President, Enterprise Research for the Aberdeen Group, and Ron is the Senior Vice President of Technology with Red Prairie. Before the break, we spoke about the weakest link issue, and that is specifically when one or more of the value chain players do not end up buying into the hosted supply chain model. How do we essentially achieve a seamless integration among the different value chain players, and how do you eventually do a sell job to have them come on the same bandwagon so that we can get the best value out of this whole, you know, initiative?
To some degree, Sanjo, whether I'm hosting or subscribing to a hosted application or not is a little bit, in my opinion, independent of this particular issue. That what a hosted application or service will force you to do is create a very disciplined integration. You know, you won't be able to create a loose integration and sort of tie together databases on the fly that you shouldn't do anyway, but companies sometimes tend to do in crisis situations. It'll require a very formal interface and a very disciplined way of communicating with that hosted service. And thus, whether it's hosted or whether it's internal, I think, if anything, the hosted service may facilitate a better, more formal and disciplined integration with your value chain than to hinder it.
And I'll just comment on that as well. I think it's, you know, absolutely right that when the supply chain, when you have to integrate, you know, you're going to have the same challenges as you would have with in-house applications, EDI integration, et cetera. But to Ron's earlier point, some of that heavy lifting now may already be done by that hosting provider. So, for instance, in some of the international logistics supply chain applications that are out there, you know, I've had retailers come back to me and say, you know, we looked at the transportation carriers that we use, and then we looked at which of the carriers were already connected to that system, and 70% of the carriers that we use are already connected to that system. We only need to create one EDI pipe up into this hosted application, and we only have to maintain that one connection, and the hosting provider is the one who has to maintain those connections to, you know, those other, you know, 100 parties for us. And that's a great value proposition for a lot of companies, just because most companies, you know, don't think that having EDI as a core competency is necessarily going to translate into any competitive market value for them or their customers.
Now, when we talk about the preparation, I mean, this is one thing which comes up, is that we want to suppose go onto this hosted supply chain bandwagon. Would there be a set of preparatory steps that you would think a company should follow? There could be a lowest common denominator, and then, of course, there could be company-specific or situation-specific. So let's talk about the lowest common denominator of preparatory steps that should be, you know, adhered to before you would jump onto this bandwagon, so that you're not just going to shoot and then try to aim.
Ron, I'll
take that one, or you want to take it?
I'll jump in real quick, and then,
okay,
and just to make some high level comments, I think that as, you know, as in any technology project, it has to be driven by a specific business, you know, requirement and process that's been laid out, and that you want to have those, you know, defined as you go in, and then decide, you know, I have this business problem, I need to, you know, these functionalities can help me. Now it becomes, what's the maybe fastest or lowest cost or, you know, less risky or less IT intensive way for me to get that solution. And that will lead you then to that decision of, you know, do I build it myself? Do I buy it and install it, or do I use a hosted solution?
Right. Sanjo, were you talking about preparatory steps with regard to compliance risks?
No, actually, this would be, you know, while we would talk about compliance, but before that, assume that we made a decision to go to the hosted model. Maybe you can say that the due diligence process is over now.
Okay.
And we are just about to adopt, but then it would not just happen in a heartbeat. It is going to have a process or some sort of a sequence of events or actions that will have to be taken before you would say, okay, let's flip the switch.
Well, indeed, with any mission-critical application, and whether it's hosted or whether you purchased it and installed it in your enterprise, any enterprise needs to go through the proper steps of validation and testing and quality assurance and varying levels of certification and testing to feel comfortable that it's going to meet their needs. And I don't think hosting changes that. I think one of the big differences with hosting is that at least accessibility to some of those business functions after you've defined what your workflows are and your business processes and done some level of configuration, accessibility to those functions is there and available versus taking a more historic and traditional route of building a custom application and going through software development cycles. But I don't think hosting would necessarily shortcut any quality assurance validation that would occur within an enterprise for any application.
Yes, I think one area that we do see some difference in is that you not only have to validate, you know, the application works and that the you know, it's going to meet our functional needs, but you also have to now understand the details behind the hosting itself. So, you know, is that vendor going to be physically running the hosting center themselves, which some do, or are they in turn going to be outsourcing it to a third-party hosting provider to actually house the application and have a disaster recovery, et cetera? And if so, then what are the escalation policies, you know, between those two organizations as well? So you do need to understand exactly, you know, who's physically going to be, you know, monitoring the application, and then who's physically going to be, you know, hosting those, you know, have that hardware and be responsible for that end of the physical hardware implementation.
Let's talk quickly about the compliance, because, you know, if it were a financial application, it would definitely have a direct impact on something like Sarbanes-Oxley or SOX compliance. Now, coming to supply chain, while it may not have a direct impact, but still it falls under the purview of overall direct or indirect, you can say, compliance monitoring that has to be done, and the overall vigil has to be in place so that if anything, any transaction is happening and it is going to eventually go and trigger some processes in financial and otherwise, that is all going to be compliant with SOX or any other you know, compliance that might be there, because every time we hear some other compliance popping up. So given that, any hosted solution, maybe for financial or others, since it's with a third party, it's kind of, to some extent, losing control and thus introducing a risk. Are we looking at like a severe level risk, moderate level risk, and either or in either case, are there any set of steps that we are taking or we are expected to take in order to prevent any such risks, or for that matter, just mitigate them at least?
I think there's three levels of compliance that companies should look at. A little bit of overlap on each of these, but sort of the SAS 70s or standard of audits and auditing and accounting standards that use the same model of controls that SOX uses are being adopted by many hosting providers, so that it may not eliminate the need to do a self-audit of the hosting provider, but it certainly can facilitate or start hitting the ground running of that provider to provide SOX compliance in accordance with your corporate definition of that. Another level is more of the business practices of IT, and there are standards out there such as ITIL that came out from the UK that's widely recognized as a standard for how to best manage a hosted or an IT service management company. And then I think the third level would be a specialty level, like a particular industry, good manufacturing practices by pharmaceuticals. And for companies that are catering to those businesses, making sure that they understand the necessary steps of good manufacturing practice validation. And while they'll still have to go through that validation for any new deployment, if they've been through the vendor audits and have all the controls in place, that validation can be brought to realization much quicker than not even knowing about the standard. So it's sort of an accounting level, an IT infrastructure and management level, and then a specialty level. And I think if vendors are servicing or catering to those three levels, then you can feel very comfortable you're going to have a solid service on your hands.
Beth, would you have any last moment comments?
I would agree. We're seeing very similar areas.
Oh, okay. All right. On behalf of the show and our listeners, I'd really like to thank you, Beth and Ron, for sharing your thoughts and insights about how organizations can successfully evaluate and adopt hosted supply chain solutions and maybe get the best out of it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Hosted solutions usually work well where business continuity is not actually totally dependent on them. And with the hosted supply chain solutions, we are ready to take a leap of faith given the higher confidence level in supporting infrastructure required and a dire need to make an organization agile given the demanding business environment. Still in a nascent stage, hosted supply chain solutions are being used in full or sometimes in part by organizations with the hope that in future, like other business functions that we know of, their IT-enabled supply chain will also be able to scale and extend on demand. At least that's the hope. It is easier said than done, and with no specific standards being proposed or followed, as we know, across the vendor organizations or even the adoption side, and the lack of so-called global offering and support provided by hosted supply chain solution providers, we will have to wait a little bit before pervasive adoption will actually happen. So is your organization willing to bet on hosted supply chain? Send us your story to views@ciotalkradio.com. That is views@ciotalkradio.com. Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjog Gall, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Listen wherever you are. 24-hour business and financial news. Solid, focused, and informed.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. Please join Sanjog Gall at 1 p.m. Pacific Time for another of CIO Talk Radio.